Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Smith, coming at you as I love to do every Wednesday night over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Number to call up is 866-96-POTUS at 866-96-POTUS. That is the number to call up. I sit before you tonight expecting two guests to come on the show. One is former representative out of Texas, Mr. Colin Allred, who's embroiled in a situation against another Democratic representative out of Texas by the name of James Tallarico in terms of some things that he believes that were said by Tallarico and how offensive he found those statements to be, and as a result, him encouraging folks to pretty much throw all their support behind Representative Jasmine Crockett, an individual that he gave up his race for the Senate for in favor of positioning her to step forward and ultimately run for the Texas Senate seat herself. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Real Times, the one and only Bill Maher from Real Time with Bill Maher, HBO, is coming on the show a little bit later on as well. I sit here knowing that I have to interview those people, and I got to confess to you all that I got something else on my mind, because I'm very, very alarmed at what I've been seeing President Donald Trump do. And before I get into it, I want to remind y'all that when it comes to my political beliefs and what have you, I'm going to remind you I'm a registered independent who obviously leans left most times. I'm a fiscal conservative, meaning that, you know what, when it comes to taxes and things of that nature, I'm definitely big on the conservatives with that. When it comes to practically everything else, for the most part, I'm pretty liberal. I've had call me the most conservative liberal they've ever seen. Or in the case of Patrick Bet-David, likes to joke that I'm the most conservative Democrat he's ever known. Because I don't bullshit. And if I sat up there and I uttered a curse word in the first 3 minutes of the show, because I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted for what I'm seeing. And I'm not a person that sits idly by and look at the Democratic Party and think their stuff don't stink. I don't buy somebody telling me it's perfume when they pass gas. And I'm not going to buy it from the Republican Party either. But when I see things that are incredibly alarming, particularly when it comes from this particular president, I get very, very concerned because I think he is a complete aberration. He's a complete anomaly. I don't think that Senator Marco Rubio would be the kind of president that he is in terms of his behavior. I don't think that George W. Bush was that way. I don't think that Ronald Reagan was that way. I don't think that H.W. was that way. I don't think any Republican would be the way this man has been. So I don't even view him as a Republican or a member of the GOP. I just think that the time has come where we're talking about being alarmed. It's not just reserved for folks on the left. It's reserved for some of the stuff that we're seeing right now. Let's take into consideration what Trump recently made news for, the latest thing that he's made news for, when he was calling for the GOP to nationalize elections. He not only said it in front of their face, he went on a Dan Bongino show, and he uttered those things. Listen to what he's saying, the president of the United States. Listen to this.
The Republicans should say, we want to take over. We should take over the voting in at least 15 places. The Republicans ought to nationalize the voting. And we have states that are so crooked, and they're counting votes. We have states that I won that show I didn't win.
Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. Naturally, we needed somebody significantly more coherent and direct and clear to really, really clarify for us exactly what the president meant when he talks about nationalizing voting. Listen to her.
What does President Trump mean when he says Republicans ought to nationalize voting? What does that look like in practice?
What the president was referring to is the SAVE Act, which is a huge common sense piece of legislation that Republicans have supported, that President Trump is committed to signing into law during his term. And he spoke with the speaker directly about that yesterday, about the need to get that bill on the floor for a vote, because it provides very common sense measures for voting in our country, such as voter ID. I don't think any rational person who's being honest with themselves would disagree with the idea of requiring citizens of this country to present an ID before casting a ballot in a federal election, or frankly in any election. And that's something the president wants to see happen. So that's what he was referring to.
It would be a lot easier to stomach if it was just that simple. If you didn't come across as a president and as a party that was fixated on curbing one's individual to vote in this country. Because when you take into account the fact that you've been prioritizing immigration issues and highlighting the amount of illegal migrants that have entered this country, the belief is very, very simple. If you're a United States citizen, here legally, whether you were born or here legally, chances are you're going to vote for Republicans. That's what they're saying. And if you're anybody else, chances are, if you find a way to get to the polls or what have you, you know what? You're going to vote Democrat. And you believe this is a voting block that the Democratic Party wants to line up. That's your belief. Now, me being a centrist, me being a moderate, I'm the first to say to you, hey, you know something? I usually have to show voter ID for an abundance of other things. What's the big deal with showing it for voting? And I get that part. But then I remember who we're dealing with here and who we're talking about. And we're not just talking about a president that's fixated on voting. We're talking about a president that's fixating on reminding the world that he believes he was robbed of an election in 2020, even though he's reclaimed the White House, winning the popular vote and the Electoral College vote in 2024, even though he's been in office for over a year, even though he's traveled the world over from Israel to being in Alaska with Vladimir Putin, to traveling over to the Middle East, whether it's Saudi Arabia or Qatar. And he's had to deal. He's attended G20 summits and all of this other stuff. No matter what, the fact that he's the president of the United States, the commander in chief of the United States of America, the leader of the free world, that nobody is disputing at this particular moment in time. There's nobody that's saying that the 2024 election was fraudulent. Even though that's over and done with, this man seems more interested in validating his proclamations that he was robbed of the election in 2020 than he is of being president right now. And when you see that kind of stuff going on, and then you take into account some of the other things that he's had going on over the last few weeks, it becomes increasingly alarming. Take, for example, Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and how she arranged, reportedly, for FBI agents who searched the Fulton County Elections and Operations Hub in Georgia last week to have a phone call with President Trump, according to multiple sources familiar with the situation. Fulton County officials say FBI agents removed about 700 boxes containing ballots and other materials associated with the 2020 election after obtaining a search warrant approved by a federal magistrate judge. Investigators are going ballot by ballot, searching for any irregularities, sources said. This is considered unusual. A president and a director for national intelligence speaking to line agents from the FBI about an ongoing criminal investigation? What the hell does that have to do with what's going on in the world today? Nevertheless, it's what he's doing. And Tulsi Gabbard, what does she say? He was just thanking them for their service. He was just thanking them for their hard work. I put him on the phone with them for a quick minute. Really? That's what we're talking about here. It's that kind of stuff that gets you very, very alarmed. Why does it get you very, very alarmed, ladies and gentlemen? Or why should it get you very, very alarmed? Because right now, at this particular moment in time, as we sit here contemplating so many things that's going on, I watched the other day Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York City, minority leader in the Senate, speaking about the SAFE Act, and how disconcerting it was for him, and even going as far as to bring up Jim Crow 2.0, which, by the way, I want to state for the record, I think it was a mistake. It's a mistake to engage in that kind of hyperbole. I'm going to explain to you why in a minute, but first, I want you to hear what Senator Schumer had to say when it came to Jim Crow laws 2.0. Listen to his statement and understand why it should be alarming and why it should catch your eye and then make sure it's something that we all should need, we all need to address right now. Listen to Senator Schumer.
What do you say to Mike Lee's argument that the Senate rules allow the majority to require the minority to stage a talking filibuster to stop the SAVE Act?
We've got to get this done, and we've got to get it done very quickly. The SAVE Act is an abomination. It's Jim Crow 2.0 across the country. We are going to do everything we can to stop it.
Don't like that at all. Now, when I tell you that I'm not down for Democrats, I'm talking about the extreme left. I'm not talking about conventional leftists like the Schumers of the world, the Bill Clintons of the world, and others. I'm down for that. I'm not down for the modern day extreme leftist Democrats any more than I'm down for MAGA right, because I'm not down for them either. But we don't need to be using that kind of verbiage. We don't need to be using that kind of language. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, that plays right into Trump's hands. It plays right into his hands. When you bring it up, the SAFE Act, for example, let's understand what that is. Current voter registration requires only signing a sworn statement under penalty of perjury affirming citizenship. The SAFE Act would eliminate that option for federal elections. Why is this relevant? Because the Brennan Center for Justice estimates over 21 million eligible U.S. citizens lack ready access to the documentary proof required under the SAVE Act. That includes married individuals who changed their names, young voters registering for the first time, elderly voters born before hospital birth certificates became standard, people of color, statistically less likely to have passports, by the way. This is according to the research that I'm reading. Along with low-income individuals unable to afford passport fees or birth certificate cost. Folks on the right don't want to hear that. Folks on the left say, damn that. You should hear it. And what they're talking about and what they're alluding to is the 21 million people that it would be more difficult to provide ready access so they could be able to vote. You're trumping them. You don't care about that. You're Trump, you have a different agenda. My point is, if you're Chuck Schumer, why engage in the hyperbole? Why not let Trump dig his own grave, proverbially speaking, or figuratively speaking? Why not do that? This is a man, this is a president that was recently on the record talking about how white folks have been treated cruelly. These are the kind of things that he was saying. And when you look at it from that standpoint, you got to wonder what his agenda is. He's going out of his way to appease to his base and to appease to the affluent amongst us, particularly those who voted for him, like almost damn everybody else, because I'm not seeing a lot of things that he's doing that's benefiting the rest of us. I know people are talking about the tariffs. I know people are talking about the economy that hasn't crashed. I know we're looking at the fact that a recession hasn't necessarily kicked in, that inflation isn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, that the border has been patrolled to some degree, and we no longer have open borders. And as a result, you can't just walk in here, not to mention the fact that hundreds of thousands of migrants here illegally have been deported. So things seem a bit safer or whatever. But my question to you would be, for whom? Because of the state of affairs that's existing right now, with the verbiage that's coming out of his mouth, with the actions that he's exercising to follow up on those things, with the stuff that he's trying to push, where he's got Republicans behind him pushing for nationalized voting. Whether you agree or disagree with it, I'm talking about his agenda. I'm not talking about the benefits or the hindrances. I'm not talking about the negatives and the positives. I'm talking about him. What's the agenda? You got a midterm coming up. You got him worried about the GOP losing the House and the Senate. And how, if that's compromised in any way, that compromises his ability to do what he wants to do up until he departs from office. We're seeing Democrats right now fighting with him, knowing that your leverage is limited, because no matter how much you fight with him to create modifications within ICE, to make sure that officers have to wear masks, to make sure that they have warrants before entering people's homes, along with other things, these stipulations that you're pushing for, even though you've just averted a shutdown, another shutdown, you're still on the verge of jeopardizing all that the Department of Homeland Security will have available to them to take care of TSA's, Secret Service, and other components. But you can't touch ICE. You can't talk about, you know, border protection. You can't touch them, because the big, beautiful bill that went into law ensured that they're going to be financed through 2029. So they're going to still get their money. Maybe not TSA, maybe not Secret Service, maybe not stuff like that. But ICE and border protection, oh, they're going to get their money through 2029. So what leverage does the Democrats, do the Democrats really, really have? The answer is not much. But what are they doing? They're trying to win an election, so it's important for them to put up a fight. So you encourage and incentivize those who are inclined to vote for you to do just that as the midterm elections come up. It makes total sense. But if you're Senator Schumer, respectfully, sir, avoid the hyperbole. Avoid Jim Crow 2.0. Because ultimately what that's going to lead is to an abundance of American citizens looking at it and hearkening back to real time when Jim Crow laws were in full effect. And it's going to make them say, nah, that's not the case in the year 2026. Most importantly, those who are centrists, those who are independents, those who are moderates, what are they going to do? They're going to say, yes, that definitely is hyperbolic. This is another exaggeration. So guess what? You know better than him. Don't do that. You're playing right into his hands. And doing something like that could be to your detriment. Instead, I like to suggest you focus on a couple of other things. How about the Employment Commission investigating Nike for discrimination against white workers? Why don't you focus on something like that? Why don't you look at something like that and say, wait a minute. You're talking about white folks that were at a disadvantage? You're talking about white folks that may have been mistreated and targeting Nike, who's made billions off of the backs of black people? You're saying somehow, some way, their willingness to do anything remotely favorable to black people is a problem? It's just the latest thing to decry DEI and its existence while ignoring the reality that the biggest beneficiaries of DEI were not black people. They were white women. Similar to what went on with affirmative action. But we don't touch on that enough. We're not paying enough attention to that. He's engaging in hyperbole. He's doing what he always does. He's saying what he needs to say. If you're the Democrats, you can't fall prey to it. You can't fall prey to his verbiage and try to mimic him and do what he does, because there's only one Donald Trump. He is truly an individual that has proven he can look up at the sky, see blue skies, say it's orange, and nobody's going to hold it against him, even though they know he's lying. He has truly proven himself to be that person. Nobody in the Democratic Party has pulled that off. Nobody. Not only has nobody pulled it off, you don't have anyone who can pull it off. Folks on the left have to walk a little bit differently, because what you're dealing with is the ultimate anomaly. A commander-in-chief of the greatest nation in the land, more preoccupied with an election he lost than the election he just won and the responsibilities that came along with him winning it. He is the president of the United States, fixated on showing you that he should have been the president from 2020 to 2024. He's fixated on it. He won't stop. He won't stop in terms of going to places like Georgia and the voter registration booths. He won't stop when it comes to the Vengeance Tour, whether it's Letitia James, whether it's Jack Smith, whether it's James Comey, whether it's John Bolton, or even Don Lemon. He won't stop. It's almost like he has this, it's an extreme fetish or a fixation on, I told you so. I was right. You were wrong. Instead of moving on and moving forward, forgetting that breeds chaos. And because that breeds chaos, it's exactly what people in 2020 booted him out of office for. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, even though the left don't want to admit it, before COVID, the economy was doing all right. We didn't hear much about border issues. We certainly didn't hear about crime in the streets being as pervasive as it ultimately became with everything from the racial riots to COVID and everything else in between. We didn't hear about all of that before COVID. It was COVID that disrupted a lot of things. It was COVID that ultimately disrupted his presidency. Even when we didn't like how he politicized and hijacked the Colin Kaepernick narrative and politicized that, he would have won re-election if it wasn't for COVID. But COVID came, and chaos reigned subsequently. And as a result, people in the streets of America looking at our state of affairs in this country said economic issues, border issues, security issues, we just got to get him out of there because it's too much chaos. That is what is on the verge of happening again. Unless, of course, the Democrats decide to engage in as much hyperbole as he does. Then there's no difference. So what does it matter? You get through the midterms, and then after that, Rubio or Vance runs against whatever Democrat you're going to put out there. Where's that going to get you? At this moment in time, the Democrats can't say they know. Even while the Republicans are scared to death that Trump is going to blow everything for them. And by the way, it's hard to believe it's an accident. It's hard to believe that he's oblivious to all of this. It's much easier to believe he doesn't care because he's in office, running the show, getting paid along the way, and oh, by the way, still making sure to periodically remind folks, it's not like I'm running in 2028, so he doesn't have anything to worry about. SAFE Act, voter registration, border issues, the list goes on and on. When somebody's imploding, get the hell out of their way. Hopefully, someone on the left will listen. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Lots to get into. One of the issues we're getting into next, former representative out of Texas, Colin Allred. He was a guest on the show a few weeks ago, but he's embroiled in something right now. A fellow Democratic representative, he believes, attacked him. Unfairly so. He believes it disqualifies him from running for office in the state of Texas. He's up next to speak about exactly what that individual did, exactly what he believes that man said, exactly why he believes it disqualifies him. And whether or not that should ensure that Representative Jasmine Crockett is the next Democratic nominee for the United States Senate out of the state of Texas. All of that and more coming up. You're listening live, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. Back with more in a minute.